Hey guys, how you doing? It's Brad Roth with ATREPodcast.com, all things real estate. I've been in the real estate business since 1998. So I started this podcast to give agents, buyers, sellers a place to go and a place to get information. Hey guys, how you doing? It's Brad again, and I'm so excited to have an absolutely incredible guest for the second time, Jason Zweig with Bartco LLP. Jason is an attorney, and he's representing some of the defenses in the MLSs for the National Association of Real Estate, NAR lawsuit. We're here today going to get an update from Jason. Welcome, Jason.
Brad, thanks. Glad to be back.
So Jason, tell us, give us an update. What's going on? What's the best and the brightest talking about today?
Well, Brad, when we spoke, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, candidly, not a lot has changed in the landscape. When we spoke 2 weeks ago, there was a significant class action settlement that was announced by NAR, and that class settlement is still out there. As of today, the proponents of the settlement, the plaintiffs and NAR, have not filed for what's called preliminary approval, which is the first step in getting that settlement approved. Since it's a class settlement, it has to be approved by a court. And so the first step in that process is the process of preliminary approval. And once that motion is filed, the judge will look at it and decide whether to grant preliminary approval. And then if the judge does, then a notice would go out to the class, and class members would have the right to, you know, decide to stay in the settlement, opt out, or object to the settlement. And so that first step in the process hasn't happened. I expect it to happen pretty much any day.
Jason, is this affecting other real estate companies that maybe weren't named in the lawsuit, or is it only companies that were just named in the lawsuit? Is it a certain percentage of what they sold? How does it work?
Well, I guess it depends, Brad, on what type of entity you're talking about. As a general matter, whether a company, whether it be a brokerage or some association of realtors or MLS, whether any of those entities were named or not, obviously this settlement's going to have an impact on all of them, because you're talking about rule changes that are going to be implemented by NAR, and that will trickle down to everybody that's a part of NAR. And so in that sense, it will affect everybody. In the settlement, as to real estate brokerages, there are a distinction made between two different categories of real estate brokerages. Those brokerages with 2022 transaction volume of less than $2 billion are essentially automatically covered by the settlement. If your brokerage did more than $2 billion of transaction volume in 2022, then you still have the opportunity, with some small exceptions, to opt into the settlement. And that would require the brokerage to pay a certain amount of money to get into the settlement, or negotiate that amount of money, depending on the particular circumstances of that brokerage.
What would be the benefit, Jason, of a real estate company deciding to opt in to a lawsuit? Like, why would they want to opt in?
Because they would be able to take advantage of a release of claims by a nationwide class. This settlement that was presented is on behalf of a nationwide class of home sellers from the period, you know, depending on where in the country that home seller was, roughly 2019 forward. There's some exceptions to that too, which we don't need to get into, that go back a little bit earlier in time. Right. But the class includes everyone in the United States that sold a home on an MLS during that time period. Right. And so if you opt into the settlement as a brokerage, your brokerage would be released from liability as to that class. Wouldn't be released as to an opt-out. Someone who opts out of the class could still bring their own suit, but not as a class action, only right. In their capacity.
Which then they would have to pay their legal fees or do something.
Correct.
You know, they'd be liable for a lot more than in a class action.
That's correct.
Jason, let me ask you, if a company, let's say a bigger company who lost that suit in Kansas City, or it was Kansas City, I believe, let's say they wanted to appeal it. And I think there is one major company that is appealing it. What would happen if they appealed it and won? And I know this is just, again, Jason is giving us his opinion. He's not answering. You can give him your spiel if you'd like. But if you could answer that, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. And thanks for reminding me. I probably should give my spiel. which is that, you know, I obviously everything I say on this podcast are my own opinions and not those of any client I represent. Yeah, so in the case in Kansas City, there is in fact one group of defendants remaining that have indicated that they do plan to appeal the $1.7 billion single damages verdict in what's called the Burnett or Sitzer case. And if they win, the most immediate impact of that appeal victory would be the elimination of that $1.8 billion overhang of verdict. And so that would get wiped out. Depending on what the grounds for the victory of the appeal were, you know, it's possible that it may be they may prevail on some smaller issue that may not result in the termination of the verdict. But if they appeal on the main grounds that they are planning on appealing, that verdict would likely be taken away and the case would have to be, in all likelihood, retried. And depending on how, you know, that trial comes out and depending on how the appeal comes out and what the issues are that are decided on appeal, that could really affect the scope of the trial and also the scope of a future settlement with that company. If obviously that company prevails on the appeal, that's going to give them more advantage in any settlement negotiation and so forth. So it wouldn't affect anything relating to the NAR settlement, however. And the NAR settlement would still be on a separate track and in a separate process. And so the rule changes that are part of the NAR settlement would still
Right, they would
go
still be in
into
effect
effect.
in
Correct.
July. That was one of my points. Is I think that either way, the rule changes are here. Big deal. They're here. In my 26 years, we've went through many rule changes. We adapt. We will work it out. It's not really that big of a deal. I think that it's great for buyers and sellers to understand what they're getting into. And there's going to be ways, as we spoke about before, that buyers will be able to afford to pay their agent, either by a seller offering some sort of closing costs for a buyer to use it for whatever they want, and then they deciding to pay their buyer's agent with it through escrow, or a some sort of loan program that comes out. The strong will survive. I mean, look, Jason, as real estate agents, that's all we do is negotiate anyway. We negotiate with our sellers, we negotiate, you know, on behalf of our buyers, and now we will be negotiating with our buyers at the beginning for our pay. Those who build value in what they do, I think, will last, and everyone will be happier. And I think buyers and sellers will get a better understanding for what we do.
Yes, I agree with all that.
So, is there anything else that you would like to add? I think that I really appreciate you jumping on with us. And is there anything that you foresee, any rule changes that maybe are being spoken about that we don't know about?
Not that I haven't heard anything in that vein, Brad. I don't have anything further to add.
Okay. Jason, once again, for the audience and viewers, people listening all over the world, maybe some that own a real estate company that aren't quite sure what to do, maybe want a second opinion. How can they get a hold of you? And would you be available, your firm, for them to hire?
Sure. Always happy to talk to whomever and consult and answer questions. They can reach me probably best, most efficiently by email, which is jzweig@bartcolaw.com. That's BART as in Tom, K as in kite, O, law.com.
Excellent. I really appreciate you coming today, Jason. And again, as my dad always said, have an attitude of gratitude, and I appreciate you. And thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Brad.
And that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. You know, many of my podcast listeners have become my coaching clients. If you'd like to be a coaching client, go to my website at www.atrepodcast.com and sign up for your free 30-minute coaching evaluation at www.atrepodcast.com. And as my dad would always say, have an attitude of gratitude.